Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100 to get a deposit bonus with up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, December 30th, 2016. And almost the new year, my friends. Only two more days in 2016, which has been a weird but yet glorious, yet terrible, yet great year all into one. And Friday's slate is kind of like that because there was when the judge first looked at the slate, 10 glorious, beautiful games. And then all of a sudden I'm going to go to FanDuel and look at some of the options for contests, and I see there's only 7 games. And then I remember, that makes sense. Kind of, because there's this weird thing on Friday where the Bulls are playing Indiana at 4 p.m. Eastern. Now, why in the world that is the case, I do not know. I didn't spend the time looking to figuring out what's going on. What's so important in Indiana on Friday that they had to push this NBA game to 4 p.m.? That's got to make the players not too pleased. But anyway, there's also a 7 o'clock and a 7:30 game. And for some reason, because FanDuel doesn't care about its consumers, they've decided to cut those games off from the main slate. And they basically have created an quote-unquote early slate so they can get the 4 p.m. game and then a really juicy 7:30 game and a really juicy 7 o'clock game. But one of those is Washington at Brooklyn, or Brooklyn at Washington, where John Wall probably would have been 100% owned, but it would have been awesome to watch him go up against the worst team in the league, against point guard and the fastest team in the league in pace. I mean, John Wall, it would have been 100 FanDuel points for John Wall. It would have been so much fun to watch and to play. Anyway, though, FanDuel, decided to create this quote-unquote early, like, three-game early slate. So now the main slate only has 7 games, which is still fine, but also what makes it more annoying, at least from the judge's perspective, is now lineup lock is not till 8 p.m. Eastern. So now all of us have to wait by our computers until 8 p.m. Eastern on a Friday night when we, on a day before New Year's Eve, when we have things to do. We have lives, FanDuel. So like pushing the lineup lock an hour back on a Friday night is just such a stupid move. And it's just so frustrating. I mean, all the decisions that they've made in the last couple of years, which have really put a negative spotlight on DFS in general. It's just, I cannot understand it. Like, who's in charge of these decisions? Just embarrassing. Anyway, all right. Like, literally, when I saw it, I almost had to go outside. The bailiff had to calm me down. As you can tell, I'm very emotional over this. The judge likes his time, that extra hour on Friday. Man, that sucks. And missing the John Wall game. And quite honestly, I liked all the games on the slate. So, but it's still a good 7-game slate. But we just be careful. It is an 8 p.m. Eastern lineup lock now, and it is only 7 games. So there's 3 games that I was already researched, and then I realized I don't need to know that. Plus, Bradley Beal might be out. John Wall's usage rate goes up like 10 percentage points without Bradley Beal. Oh, God, so glorious. Otto Porter goes up 4%. Nah, it doesn't even matter. All right. That's enough for me ranting and raving over that. You guys should definitely download the app Draft. I know most of you have done that. I have my big powwow with them next week to start the new year off. And they're going to ask me how the listeners have been. And I don't know. We will see. Hopefully you guys have been telling me you've been downloading the app. Remember, when you do download it, enter the promo code DFBPOD. If you cannot figure out where to enter that promo code, or if you've downloaded the app and haven't entered the promo code, let me know, because that does make a big difference. If you want more shows, if you want more judge, which maybe you don't, I don't know. But hopefully you do. Then support the podcast by downloading the app, using the promo code, Also, rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. As you know, that really does mean a lot. We got to jump back into the iTunes rankings so we can work on some big-time sponsors in 2017. We need to upgrade the show, man. I need to upgrade the sound quality. I need to get a microphone. There's things that we need to do to increase the enjoyment for mostly for you guys. For me too, I guess. All right. There's that. Also, I'm getting a lot of tweets, DMs. Man, I'm getting – and also, let me just quickly say this. If you want to try to reach me on Twitter, totally fine, at DanielAGreen1, or via my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. But I'm getting like – I mean, some days 150, 200 DMs. So like I'm trying to, you know, read everything and get back to you, especially when you're asking lineup questions. But if you're asking lineup questions – tweeting me rather than DMing me is a much safer way to go because I'm going to go to the tweets first. I have so many DMs building up; it's hard to get to. And kind of the same if you want to get into chambers. I prefer if you tweet over DM, but if you can DM too, it's just there's a greater likelihood that I'm going to see the actual tweet rather than a DM might take me a little bit of time to get to because I'm getting just inundated and almost too many DMs. And the bailiff refuses to read the DMs. I try to teach the bailiff to read. It's not going very well. But if you do want a consultation with the judge, a 30-minute phone call, I mean, it's the demand is pretty good for that, pretty high, which is a good thing. But because, as you guys know, time is just tough for me. I mean, it's 4 o'clock in the morning right now when I'm doing the podcast. So, but just, you know, reach out to me either via the website or via Twitter, and when we will make it happen. I'm really only doing one a day right now, but maybe I'll try to figure out a way to get two a day in just so because I know a lot of you guys do have more specific, like legitimate questions that I really can't address on the podcast. Although I want to address, you know, more kind of research techniques and roster construction and things like that on the podcast. But as you guys know, it's hard, especially when I don't want the podcast to be over an hour. And when we have like a 7, 8, 9, a large slate, even a small slate, there's so many players, there's so much to talk about. So, you know, on the consultation, we definitely can go a lot more in depth and you know, we can definitely help you get on track. All right. Chambers for Thursday. Thursday was a lot of fun. It was an excellent 6-game slate. The judge, I was glory hunting again. Man, I got really close in the single entry tournaments, the single entry 25, 50, and 100. And I just couldn't, yeah, I didn't get as close as I did on Wednesday. I had, you know, in the late game, I think the only guy I really had was D. Powell and Rick Carlisle. Because Rick Carlisle thinks he's like smarter than every human being in the world. And the one thing I do agree with Rajon Rondo, Rondo hated Carlisle because Carlisle, on every offensive, I mean, well, like, if you watch the game, so like you can see it. Carlisle calls an offensive play on every single Dallas Mavericks possession. He gives the point guards zero freedom. It's got to be the worst system in the world to play in. If you're a point guard, I mean, you have no freedom, dude. I mean, you talk about a micromanager. I mean, most of you guys know who have jobs. I mean, there's nothing worse than being micromanaged, and that's all Rick Carlisle does. Not to mention his rotation. Like, I mean, so I had a lot of Dwight Powell, which I knew was a somewhat risky move, but he only got 14 minutes. And he was unbelievable. If you were watching the game, he was the best player on the court. He had 21 FanDuel points in 14 minutes. And he was just everywhere. He was destroying the Lakers. And I mean, Carlisle decided to play him in like 4-minute stretches. It was so bizarre. And then he benched him for the entire fourth quarter and for no reason decided to put in the 7-foot, you know, absurdity that is Salah Mejri, who actually played pretty well. I got to give it to him. But there was no reason to play a slow turtle-paced Salah Mejri when the Lakers weren't playing big. There was no reason to put him in the game. It was just bizarre. I mean, Rick Carlisle, he thinks he's this mad genius. He's just a moron and a dope. Granted, a lot of that I'm just saying because I'm just angry because I wanted Powell to get more minutes. But he really was. He was playing excellent if you guys were watching the game. So Thursday was a good night. Hopefully you guys had a good night as well. In Chambers, I was able to take down two of them. But the judge thought I was going to get all three, but I was not. A newbie, someone named DL Spin. If remember, if you play Chambers, let me know your Twitter handle. I don't know who, what his name is on Twitter, but DL Spin came in late with a, I think a Randall West Matthews combo in the late games to overtake me with a 313.9. So congrats to him. The judge did not slam the Chambers door shut. Also, you know, because no one cares about me, let's give shout outs to the people who took second. Terry S. Tang, another newbie, his first cash of the year. Congrats to him. He finished second in one of the chambers. And then Bad Notions, who's, I don't remember how many times he's cashed, but he's cashed a few times this year. He took second in one of the chambers as well. So I thought I was going to get all three, but no, it did not happen because Paul Carlisle did not give Paul the minutes that he deserved. Dream Killers, this is you know, kind of what we're used to, right, guys, on Thursday. A lot more Dream Killers than Dream Lovers. The scoring was down for Thursday overall, and that's because, if you guys remember, on Friday, every player in the world went nuts. On Thursday, that did not happen. Starting with the best player this year, easily in DFS, but maybe in real basketball as well, and that's Westbrook. He was up against Memphis, and he did not have a good first half. It would have been interesting to see how many points he would have ended up with if he would have stayed in the game. But he got ejected early in the third quarter, ended up with about 25 FanDuel points. Obviously, if you spent 12.5K and he only gave you 25, your night probably did not end well. If you somehow cast, you know, still with him in your lineup, that's pretty impressive. But yeah, 25 points for him. He needed to get us what, 65 or something like that. So yeah, that was tough. I mean, just he. Against it was just a bad matchup all the way around, and he was had an off night. Yeah, I don't think he had an assist the entire night, you know, and he still played 2.5 quarters. So, just that will not happen again for Westbrook. Mike Conley, I have him as a dream killer because how many times this year has he been either a game time decision or he's gonna play, and then all of a sudden, like in the last like 30 minutes for lineup lock, he's out, or even like after lineup lock, it comes out that he's out. Just, it's very bizarre. He's dealing with this toe issue, but he was probable all day. And then about 30 minutes before tip-off, they rule him out, and it changes the entire lineup. It changes the entire slate, especially on when there's only six games. So, man, I played almost Marc Gasol in all my GPPs. That actually worked out. I used a little more Westbrook. Maybe two lineups I had Westbrook out of my 10. But I think I was going to fade him completely before Conley was out because Westbrook had a better matchup against Harrison. But it just kind of – and then Harrison became an elite value play. So it really just did cause havoc to all of our lineups. But that's – you know, that can happen. But just – it's annoying with Conley because he was probable all day. And then, I mean, what changed? Just annoying. Julius Randle, this fat Waffle House mother effer. If you played him, you were not happy. I was not happy, especially if you played him over Kevin Love in a couple lineups. I think he had like two rebounds on the night. He got into early foul trouble, and you see this all the time happen. I don't know what happens. Like when a player gets in early foul trouble, they never can recover. It's like something goes off in their head that just doesn't allow them to ever get it back together. It's so bizarre. This happens all the time. I want to start tracking this on a more advanced stats or advanced analytical basis of like when someone gets two fouls early in the first quarter, like what percentage of times do they still end up hitting value? It's got to be pretty low. So he was, I mean, he still did okay, but he was like in the low 20s in FanDuel points. It sucks. It was super frustrating. And like what was even worse in the second half, like they weren't going to him at all. Like he didn't get the ball much. The fourth quarter, it was just, it would be like 5, 6, 7 possessions where he wouldn't touch the ball. It was Russell, Lou Williams, Russell, Lou Williams, Russell, Lou Williams. No Randle. So that's annoying. DeMar DeRozan, that whole Toronto Phoenix game, if you were watching that game, the pace of that game, and you could tell it, you know, within the first 6 minutes, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that both teams were on a back-to-back, and Toronto played their hearts out against Golden State on Wednesday night. Which, I mean, when you think about it, they were down by like 20 in the first quarter, and they made a spirited comeback and made it close. But by keeping it close, all the starters got big minutes, and that probably hurt them a lot and made them tired for Thursday. So they ended up caught, and then they ended up losing to a crappy Phoenix team. So in retrospect, they probably should have just got blown up by Golden State and rested their guys. But DeMar DeRozan was not good. There was just a lot of guys, a lot of dream killers in that game. T.J. Warren was a mess. I think Bledsoe did okay. I think Booker ended up doing okay. If you tried to roll a dice with Dragon Bender, you were very disappointed in that. That same game, Luol Deng, who's been Mr. Consistency, put like an 8 FanDuel point up. So that was a disaster for him. If you played any of the Miami guys, well, at least two of them, both Dragons, Dragon Bender and Dragon Dragic, or Goran Dragic, I should say, were disasters. Goran is still dealing with that back issues. I don't think he's going to play on Friday. He was terrible. He should not have even attempted to play because he couldn't move on the court. Justice Winslow was a mess. I think he had like eight or nine FanDuel points. I think he was 0-for-9 from the field or something like that. He just could not do anything out there. It was embarrassing to watch him and MKG, two of the most offensively challenged players in the NBA, go at it. Was pretty interesting, I guess would be a word you could use. Whiteside's clearly not right. Something he's dealing with a bunch of issues, including no one passed him the ball on that Miami team. So if you played him, especially if you played him over Gasol, you were probably spitting at the TV, throwing your gavel at the TV, just doing some, you know, not some good things, engaging in illicit behavior. I don't know what you were doing, but you were not happy. And then Deron Williams, another point guard who did not take advantage of the Lakers. He had like 11 assists, but just didn't do enough offensively to hit value. Dream Lovers, my boy Lamb for Charlotte. I had him everywhere in GPPs, and he didn't do great, but he was in almost – I think he was like one of the pieces you had to have on Thursday. He was in almost every winning lineup that I saw. He put up, you know, 21 FanDuel points at 3.9K. As long as Marco Bellinelli is out for Charlotte, Lamb is almost a guy you need to be considering. Nicholas Batum. I mean, the Charlotte Batums. What else can you say about Nick Batum? Second best player in the NBA next to Westbrook, right? I mean, he's so good. I mean, the man. He had like 18 FanDuel points in the first quarter. He might have had 18 FanDuel points in like the first 6 minutes of that game. I mean, he's so locked in right now. He can post up. He can run the offense. He's shooting threes. He's getting assists. He's getting rebounds. There's nothing he's not doing on the court right now. Wow, he's fantastic. Kevin Love was great. 50 FanDuel points for him. Kyrie Irving, he was the guy you needed to win a GPP. 60 FanDuel points. I think he had over 60 for Kyrie. And it was weird because no one played him. Everyone played Lowry. Everyone played Isaiah Thomas. Some people played Deron Williams. Even people were playing Dragic, I think, over Kyrie. I mean, he was like 4-6% in the at least the single entry tournaments that I was in. And I forgot. I don't even know what he was in like the slam because I didn't play him in the slam. But – man, I'm kicking my I out of my 10 lineups. I had him in one, and I'm furious at myself that I did not, especially because he was like the exact same price as Isaiah Thomas, or very similar, and a Lowry. So I mean, I should have had the exact same lineup and then used each of those three point guards in each lineup. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. The problem is, I'm like in single entry tournaments, which are now my favorite thing in the free world. Obviously, you can't do that. You only have one lineup to play, but in like the slam. I should have done that, and I'm furious because I would have made thousands, you know, instead of the hundreds that I made. But, you know, that's a lot. I mean, a lot of us missed that one for some reason. Marc Gasol was great. The second Conley went out, you should have known to look to Gasol. His usage rate goes through the roof without Conley. They run their entire offense through every possession. He gets the ball in the high post and gets to facilitate. So he was a great play. Came, I think he was in the mid-40s in FanDuel points. Josh Richardson. I mean, look what difference a day makes, man. He had one good game. He got some confidence, and now he can't miss. He looks like a completely different player on the court. He's been super aggressive, and I wish that Miami game was on the slate on Friday for us because I would love to play him on Friday as well without Dragic. Tyler Johnson also played great. Tyler Johnson and Richardson were the two Miami guys that played tremendous, and James Johnson did okay on Thursday. And then Isaiah Thomas was really good as well. I think he put up more FanDuel points than Kyle Lowry, so he was good. I think Bradley Beal was pretty good too. I didn't play him, but I think I mean I think he was hitting value at like halftime, so he must have ended up with a really good night. Our injury news for Friday. Oh, I guess the Miami or the Chicago news doesn't matter. Rodney, that doesn't matter. Indiana doesn't matter either. All the stuff I have ready doesn't matter. Let's see. What does matter out of the year? J.J. Redick, questionable, sore hamstring. Courtney Lee, questionable with a wrist. I think the Knicks started Sasa Vujacic last game. So annoying. They should be starting Justin Holiday. Justin Holiday is really good. Justin Holiday should still see some minutes. I mean, why do coaches do that, man? Are they doing it on purpose just to annoy us? I'm starting to think maybe that's why they're doing it. And then the biggest one is probably or two that actually are somewhat interesting is the one is Damian Lillard is probably going to still be out again. He's doubtful with a sprained ankle. So they're playing the Spurs. So it's not an ideal matchup. But you got guys like McCollum, Crabbe, Evan Turner, Harkless, Aminu, Plumdog. They're all interesting plays now. And then Sergio Rodriguez sprained his ankle, so he's going to be out for Philly. And Philly has a juicy matchup on Friday against Denver. You can attack the Denver guards. Specifically, you attack them at point guard. So all of a sudden, TJ McConnell, it sucks, man, on a seven-game slate to put our faith in TJ McConnell. But I will be using some of him. I can't pass up attacking the Denver guards. And he should be locked into lots of minutes. Over-unders, we're still waiting for a few out of the games that we do have up. Dallas at Golden State, 212 over-under. But Golden State's favored by 18 points. And Dallas is on a back-to-back. And I think Dallas has played like four games in 5 nights or something crazy. I'm pretty sure Bogut's going to be out. This would be a perfectly suited game. You would think they would give some of their young guys, like a Dwight Powell, some extra minutes and rest the arthritic bones of Darren Williams and guys like that. So it's going to be a hard game to play. Obviously in cash games, it's hard to trust any of those guys, but Dallas is playing way up in pace. If somehow Dallas keeps that game close, it could get interesting. But Golden State's 18-point favorites. That's one of the bigger lines we've seen all year. Philly at Denver, 211 over-under. Denver's favored by 11, so that could be a blowout too. Although I think Embiid's playing, so I think Philly can keep that game close. Milwaukee at Minnesota is a really juicy game I want to attack, 210 over-under. And then there's a bunch we're still waiting for. All right, pace. There's the really only team that's playing up in pace on the seven-game slate that we get, because I can't count Washington playing Brooklyn, is Dallas. And Dallas is playing, they only averaged about 93 points per 100 possessions, and they're projected to get about 97, 98. About a four points increase, which is pretty significant. Typically if a team gets about a 3-point increase, it's something that I'll really look to target. So a 4-point increase for Dallas is pretty good. And there's really nothing, no other team besides them that I really want to attack because of pace. Defensive versus position. You guys know Atlanta. We attack the guards for Atlanta. I think that game's on the slate. I hope it is. I'm getting all confused by this, man. So maybe some Reggie Jackson. Finally, is he going to come through for us? Some KCP. Also, New Orleans. You can attack New Orleans point guard. So Derrick Rose. I hate playing Derrick Rose. But he's in a good spot. Mentioned Denver guards. So, I mean, TJ McConnell, man. Stauskas, maybe? Oh, that's going to be fun trolling those guys out. Other than that, you got, let's see, anything else stand out to me? Nah, plus this grid's getting confusing because there's so many games that aren't in the actual slate now. So let's just move on to the top plays at each position, my friends. All right, Google Hangouts. I'm going to leave you for a second. Do not crash. All right, let's go to point guard. Chris Paul. There's no John Wall. We can't get excited to play John Wall and watch him put up 100 FanDuel points. I'm sorry. Can I write in John Wall? Maybe I'm just going to write in John Wall. So now, now I'm not even going to watch that game. What's the reason to watch that game? Zero. All right, so Chris Paul, 9.2K at Houston. Now, so he's going to get some Patrick Beverley defense. I think Beverley's back playing. Chris Paul was dealing with that hamstring. He played his first game back, it was Wednesday, at New Orleans. He was super low owned. No one played him. Then I'm surprised. He still put up 41 FanDuel points. I mean, I watched that whole game. He looked okay, but he looked like he was pacing himself and nothing stood out. But that's kind of like what his floor is. I think he's a pretty safe play. You know, while Beverly is can get under the skin of a lot of point guards, I don't think it's going to impact Chris Paul too much. I mean, Chris Paul's game, it's not really he's not ultra aggressive, even though, you know, what, remember, I mean, we haven't had, because Chris Paul dealt with the hamstring injury, we haven't had really a chance to attack the fact that Blake Griffin is out for the Clippers. And Chris Paul gets a massive usage bump when Blake is out. So I think Chris Paul is in a good spot. I'm hoping the Beverly defense, that issue, is going to scare some people off. And why didn't I mention the Clippers? Because the Clippers are playing up in pace. That's weird. It's just not that significant. Like, they're You would think against Houston it would be they're playing only 2 points up in pace for Friday, and I would think it would have been a little bit higher. But at least they still are playing up in pace. So I like Chris Paul, man. I think he's safe for all formats. And without Blake, he can give you a man a 50-60 FanDuel point night. So, yeah, he's in a good spot. Steph Curry, 8.5K. Look, they're favored by 18 points. So I'm not going to touch him in cash games. You know, I'll stack this game in one lineup and hope it stays close. But I'm not going to be overlooking to target, I think, anyone in this game right now. Drew Holiday is 7K. I guess he's been more consistent than I thought. 31, 28, 36, 42 the last four games. You know, he's put up some stinkers this year, that's for sure. He's getting some Derrick Rose defense, which I absolutely like. Where is Mr. Holiday's usage rate? Because that is what the judge truly loves. Usage rate's fine. It's 27.4%. For someone of his, quality, I think that's about the best that he can hope for. So, decent spot here. I think there's other guys I prefer for cash games, but if you want to roam out in tournaments, and I like to do a tandem, so I'll have one for sure, at least one Holiday Anthony Davis lineup. Dennis Schroeder, 6.9K. Schroeder is a 30% usage rate. That is much more to the judge's liking. He's going to get some Detroit defense. You can attack the Detroit, even though it's going to be Atlanta's playing down in pace. All year long, you can attack them defensively at the point guard position. Now, a lot of that was because Ish Smith was starting, and Reggie is a better defender than Ish. But I still think Dennis is in a good spot here. I mean, he had one clunker earlier in this week, but other than that, he's been pretty safe. 37 FanDuel points, 16 was the clunker, then 41, 32, 45, 22, 34, 40. So, I mean, I think this floor is around 30 FanDuel points or so, and maybe it's around 26, 28 FanDuel points, and the ceiling, though, is maybe 45 for this matchup. Not ideal because of the pace, but he's still safe, and I will definitely use him in some tournaments, and I'll definitely have at least one lineup where I do a Reggie Jackson, Dennis Schroeder as my two point guards. Derrick Rose, he's in a good spot. I do not like playing him. I don't like him as a person because of his off-court behavior from the offseason, but he got 43 minutes against Atlanta last game, 41 FanDuel points. The last four games, 41, 33, 30, and 38. So, and now he gets a New Orleans team that gives up the third most FanDuel points to opposing guards. And Rose still has a 28% usage rate because he still thinks it's 2012. And he refuses. I mean, so if you watch the Bulls, the Bulls, he's not on the Bulls anymore. He's on the Knicks. If you watch the Knicks play, it's super frustrating, especially down the stretch. They run the pick and rolls with Rose and Porzingis. And then Porzingis rolls to the hoop. Porzingis is like with his arms stretched out. He's like 8 feet tall. He'll have like 6 foot two guards on him. And yet D Rose will pull up for like an 18 foot contested jumper. He's such a ball hog. He's so ball dominant. You know, but for our purposes, DFS purposes, we can take advantage of it. He's in a really good spot here. I think he's safe for all formats on Friday. Darren Williams, he's in that Golden State game. on a back-to-back. I don't like to go there on a back-to-back, but Dallas is playing up in pace. So if they keep it close, it's going to be because guys like Darren Williams, Wes Matthews, and Harrison Barnes have good games. Ricky Rubio, 6.1K. I mean, Milwaukee, they do defend point guard pretty well. Rubio and his 17.6% usage rate going up against Dellavedova. He's been a lot better lately, though. The last game against Denver, he actually made shots. That's the first game all year he's made shots. He had a season high in actual points, 18. And not surprisingly, that was a season high then in FanDuel points, which was 42. And I think that was the first time all year he was over 40. It was. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. And quite honestly, that's as low for him in assists. But Denver was forcing him to shoot. So maybe the Bucks take a similar approach and force him to shoot and get the ball out of Wiggins and Levine and Towns, especially Towns' hands, because Towns should be able to destroy the Bucks on Friday. I don't love it, but I'm fine with it. The price has come up a little bit because he did have that one good game. It's an okay play. Beverly, 5.8K versus Chris Paul. See, Beverly did sit out against Dallas, but I don't see him on the injury report right now. So I guess he's going to play against Chris Paul. They'll need his defense against CP3. He's been really good. As you guys know, he's been super consistent and playing better than I imagine. He's been basically a floor of 20 and a ceiling of about 35. So, yeah, he's in an interesting spot here. Or if he's healthy, he's going to get 35 minutes to defend Chris Paul. Every second that Chris Paul's on the court, I would think D'Antoni just make sure Beverly's on the court as well. So I'm totally fine with it. For if you want to use him in cash, you could do it. You could do a Beverly Chris Paul lineup for cash games. Quite honestly, I'm not going to go that route, but you could do it. And tournaments, he's okay, not the best upside in the world, but you can do it. Reggie Jackson. You can attack the hell out of these Atlanta guards. Reggie still has the great usage rate of 30.1%, and Atlanta gives up the second most fantasy points to opposing guards. So Reggie Jackson is in an elite spot on Friday, and the price he's at some point, whenever they figure out this, what the hell is going on in Detroit, he's going to be at least a 6.5K player, if not a 7K player before the year's end. So let's go bargain shopping one more time before 2016 ends. Let's do some Reggie Jackson. The biggest key for me was he got 34 minutes last game. That's a season high. So things seem to be trending up. He got 29 FanDuel points, which is value at that price easily. So I think he's in a good spot. I'm going to go a little bargain shopping. Maybe I need a new outfit for New Year's? New outfit for the bailiff? I know you guys need some new outfits. I wonder if you guys have any good New Year's plans. Big parties, house parties. Are you married? You just stay home with the wife and kids? I don't know. But let's take advantage of Reggie Jackson. Emmanuel Mudiay, 4.8K. I don't want to even say his name or go there. Once every 10 games, he's going to have a 40 FanDuel point night. And could it be against Philly and TJ McConnell? Quite honestly, yeah, why not? So in tournaments, you can use him. It's just really risky. Other than that, under 5K, Tony Parker, Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers is still starting, and he got 32 minutes last game because he says, "Daddy, I want to play." And Doc Rivers says, "Okay, son, why would we play anyone else who's more talented? Let's go and play someone who stinks." But he got 30 FanDuel points against the Pelicans. And here, against Houston, he's going to get James Harden defense. So, man, on a 7-game slate, I do not like the fact that I'm going to play some Austin Rivers, but because Clippers are also playing up in pace, yeah, I'm going to play him in a lineup or two. And there's really no other legit value point guard except the guy I'm going to say next, and that's TJ McConnell at 3.8K. I prefer McConnell over Rivers. He's just he's had games. Earlier this year, the last time he started, I think it was, he put up 40 FanDuel points, and that was against Detroit. I know last year, I think I finished top 10 in the Slam with him in the lineup one day when he started. So, he's a decent player, and he can come through for us. He's 3.8K. So at that price, he should be fine and be able to hit value. And he does have upside on Friday. All right, shooting guard. Let me just quickly take a sip of my smoothie. That is super delicious. It is like a banana strawberry flavor. It's my favorite combo. Similar to a combo of like a James Harden, Ryan Anderson combo that I will be looking to play on Friday. James Hardaway is the top. James Hardaway. James Harden is the top shooting guard on the board. 11.1K. His usage rate keeps climbing, man. I think he's trying to catch Westbrook. It's now 38%, which is phenomenal. You know, not much to say here other than he's going to get some awesome – wow, I wonder – no, the Clippers cannot put Austin Rivers on him. Maybe they put Mbah Moute on him. Either way, though, he's in a really good spot. Against Dallas, his last two games, he only played 30 minutes because they blew out Dallas and Phoenix, and he's got 53 and 49. There is no Westbrook on this slate, so you can and if you're playing McConnell, you can afford to get Harden in there. I think the price is fair. He's playing. He's really locked in. You just hope that – I mean, this game should stay close as well. Then if Harden gets, 38 minutes or so, why can't he give me 60, 70, FanDuel points on Friday? So right now he's a cash game. Play for me. It's hard to choose between him and Giannis because Giannis is just so good. But, yeah, right now I do have Harden a little bit higher over Giannis for cash games. Giannis is next, 10.3K. You can never go wrong playing Giannis. So while I have Harden ranked a little bit higher than him right now, Giannis is in a good matchup against Minnesota. Have they played Minnesota this year? Let me see real quickly. They have not. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure who the heck Minnesota will – I guess they'd use Wiggins to defend him. Wiggins is a pretty good defender, quite honestly. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, the Greek Freak is matchup-proof. Fine for all formats, always. CJ McCollum. So now will be an interesting test for us. What do we do with CJ here? One of the most perplexing questions of the night, if you ask me, on this slate. Because you can attack the San Antonio guards. See, with no Dame Lillard, McCollum, the first two games, 41 and 33 FanDuel points. And the last game against Sacramento, where he put 33 FanDuel points on the board, he did not even play that well. I mean, I would think against San Antonio, one, we got to worry it's not a blowout, right? And it is in San Antonio. What's the spread here? Is there a spread? There must not be a spread. Yeah, there's no line yet. You worry about the blowout. And then, so I think he's going to be a tournament-only play for me, which is frustrating because I want to attack this. I'll wait to see what the Vegas line is as well. But I would think San Antonio should beat them pretty easily with no Lillard. But he's in a really good spot for tournaments, though. He could give you a 40, 50 FanDuel point night. So tournaments for me only on Friday right now. Zach LaVine, 6.5K. Another guy, one-trick pony. I prefer McCollum on the slate to LaVine. But for tournaments, because he's going to get 40 minutes. Yeah, I mean, every night I'm always going to have a lineup with LaVine. I'm always going to have a lineup with Wiggins. And probably Towns for that matter too. Just because all those guys, they're all locked in. They have monster minutes. And they all could erupt for 40, 50 FanDuel points. It's super hard to predict, especially hard with Wiggins and LaVine because they are such one-trick ponies. Klay Thompson, I'm not even going to mention that Dallas Golden State game anymore. I mean, it's going to be a tournament only for me because they're favored by 18 points. So I'm not going to mention any more players from that game. They're all fine for tournaments, but for cash games, stay away. KCP, so you can attack Atlanta guards. I think this is another sneaky play. He's been up and down since Reggie Jackson came back. 20, 33, 34, 13, and 9. Obviously, the 13 and 9, and those sicken you and make you kind of shiver. But so for that reason, maybe I don't want to do it in cash games. But, man, another way to differentiate your lineups. How about a little Reggie Jackson KCP as my point guard shooting guard combo? A little Detroit mini stack on a 7-game slate. Why don't we throw in Tobias Harris or a little Drummond with that? Can I interest you in that? So I'm fine with that. I mean, Detroit's the team. They're playing up in pace. not as much as I would like, according to the data I'm looking at, but they're still playing up in pace in a good spot here. Eric Gordon, I will always have at least one lineup of him. He's just been too rock solid. 25, 25, 28, 33, 21, 36, 34, 27. I mean, it's just – I'm pretty sure between him and Ryan Anderson, they take about eight or nine three-pointers a night, at least. So really good spot for Eric Gordon. I'm fine with him all formats. And I love the – I mean, you know, if I'm playing Harden, I need to get another guy, especially in tournaments. I need to get another one of these shooters, either Eric Gordon or James or Ryan Anderson. And the judge's special technique you can use on this play as well. This is a night you could roll out a James Harden, Eric Gordon as both of your shooting guards. I mean, no one's going to have that. The judge will have that. Will Barton, 5.4K. So he does steal a lot of minutes from my boy Gary Harris. But the problem is, some games he stinks and doesn't get a lot of minutes because that's why we call him Will the Thrill. And that's why he's at Magic Mountain going on roller coasters with me on Friday nights. So last game against Minnesota, 19 minutes and 10 FanDuel points. The game before that, 42 FanDuel points. And that's what his floor and ceiling is, basically 10 or 40. And that's why he is a tournament play only for me. In a decent spot against Philly, he's in. I think Gerald Henderson was supposed to be out. I'm not sure. But either way, a decent matchup for the Denver guards, including the next guy under 5K. We're already under 5K, so shooting guard not that great on Friday. That's Gary Harris. He's 4.6K. The price never comes up on him. I played him a lot the last on Wednesday, I think it was, and he gave me 21 FanDuel points at his salary. That's all he really needs to give me. I mean, I'd like a little bit more, but he has 40 FanDuel point upside. He's getting at least about around 30 minutes a night. I'm not going to lie, it's frustrating to roster him sometimes. It's frustrating to watch Denver play because sometimes five, six, seven possessions go by and he doesn't touch the ball. Because Denver has a lot of options now. I mean, they have, you know, Jokic is playing out of his mind. They got Chandler, who's good. Gallinari starting to play better. Moutier still thinks he's a good player his usage rate is too high. The guy got guys off the bench like Will Barton who shoot a lot. So, not Gary Harris doesn't get a ton of touches a lot of nights. And that's why one reason why the prices stay so low on him. Real quickly, what is his usage rate? Since we're talking about touches. Yeah, 19.9, just about 20%. So, you know, I don't love the play, but that it's cheap bargain shopping. I don't mind it for cash, but honestly, he should still find a way to get us 20 in tournaments. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. Jamal Crawford. So last game with Chris Paul back, Chris Paul back, and he is black too, I guess. He still got 29 minutes. So, like, to me, that was the key. He only gave you 11 FanDuel points. But if you tell me Jamal Crawford's going to get 30 minutes, which Clippers still need, and Redick's still going to be out, I think. They do need scoring without Blake. So Crawford's fine for tournaments. I'm not going to touch him in cash. But in tournaments, I think you can absolutely play him. And if you want, you can go, you know, CP3 and Jamal Crawford and hope that Crawford gets some assists, or CP3 gets some assists to Crawford, although a lot of times Crawford just goes ISO. So there's going to be no assists on his baskets. Seth Curry. I mean, I'm not going to mention many Dallas guys, but the couple that I'll mention are going to be Paul and Seth Curry. I'm going to want the young guys who aren't suffering from arthritis and who aren't in hospice and who might get extended minutes in blowouts. So Seth Curry's okay. And other than that, Justin Holiday, 3.8K. So last game out, he was terrific. He didn't start. He should be starting without Koishi. He should start anyway. But with Courtney Lee out, he's going to get significant minutes, even if he doesn't start. He got 34 minutes and was awesome. 27 FanDuel points. He's so good, and he's not scoring dependent. He can do a lot of things on the court. He flies around the court. It's really fun to watch him play. He's super athletic. So 3.8K, he's a really – hopefully he'll be a sneaky guy, a little bit under the radar. I like him, especially for tournaments. I'm a big fan of him. Also, Alan Crabb is 3.7K. he's going to get a lot of minutes, especially as long as Portland can keep this game close against San Antonio. I'm not a big fan of him rostering him because offensively he does not have a lot of talent, but he can stand there and hit some wide open threes and stumble into some rebounds. He had 23 Fando points for me on Wednesday, which was enough to help me win a lot of money. So he's fine, and especially at that price. The price is the key thing. So, I mean, so shooting guard, I mean, if you want, you can go a Crab, Holidays, or two guys and just spend up every other spot. It'd be a unique, creative way to go. I don't know if it'd work, but you could do it. All right, small forward. I'm not going to mention Durant. So Carmelo, I know he killed us last game. He got ejected, and we're all angry about it, but let's try to get over it. And he's in a good spot here. Against the Pelicans, I don't know who's going to be guarding him. Is it Solomon Hill? Is it Lance Thomas? Is Lance Thomas even on the Knicks still? I don't know what team is Lance Thomas even on anymore. Either way, God, my spreadsheet's so large on these large slates. And half these players aren't even on the slate anymore. But the usage rate is still 29% for Carmelo, so it's still rock solid. The price is very fair, 7.5K. He's fine for all formats on Friday. Harrison Barnes, 6.5. Man, I said I'm not going to mention that game. Andrew Wiggins, tournaments only for me. I'm not going to roll him out in cash. One trick pony. He'd give you 50 fandom points or he'd give you 20. Gallinari, 6.2K. He's been starting to play better lately. I was listening to some Denver, I don't know if it was Denver radio or just Denver, I don't know where I heard this, but it was audio of Denver post game comments and or maybe just after shoot around on Thursday maybe, and he was saying how his body feels really good and this is like the healthiest he's felt all year, so that's a good sign. It's also showing up in the production and the minutes. First of all, the Denver, it's hard to predict their minutes except for Gallinari. He's locked into like mid 30s in minutes, which is phenomenal. The usage rate for him, which I always go, it's about 20%, which is not great, but I think it's slowly starting to creep up. Although now I'm looking at it, it's 19%. So that's not good. But the FanDuel production, 24, 42, 36 the last three games. And you can attack Philly at the small forward position. I mean, I thought Covington's a really good defender, but they give up the 6 most FanDuel points to opposing small forwards. So I like Gallinari. I think he's relatively safe for cash, although usually no one's playing him in cash, but you can. And I think for tournaments, he's totally fine. And so is Wilson Chandler, his teammate. So Chandler got 31 FanDuel points last game, and before that he got 6. But he's been super consistent this year for the most part. He does have occasionally a clunker or two. I actually prefer Chandler coming off the bench, not starting, because he's starting now. There's a lot of mouths to feed, and Jokic is the dominant mouth to feed right now. But he's still fine. I think if you want to roll him out in a tournament or two, you can do it. I guess these days I actually prefer Gallinari right now to Chandler, but they're both fine. Ariza, yeah, I mean, I think all the Houston shooters for me are going to be tournament plays on Friday, including Gordon, Anderson. Gordon, quite honestly, he's cash game viable. But guys like Ariza and Anderson, I think they're totally fine to team with Harden in tournaments. That's a nice game just to stack. I wish I had the over-under up on that game because it's got to be I guess it's like 215, 216 maybe. And it could be the one of the highest over-unders of the night. And that game should stay close. Should be a good game. Covington, 5.2K. So he's slowly starting to turn back into the peasant Covington, and that's not a good sign. Well, I'm going to cut him some slack for last game because it was against Utah. He only gave us 13 FanDuel points, but the game before that, only 19. So I'm not going to roll him out in cash on Friday, but against Denver, he should be fine. I think he does have 40 FanDuel point upside, and tournaments only for me, though. Under 5K, you got the Portland boys, you got Harkless and Turner. Harkless I think Harkless is going to find a way somehow to give you 20 FanDuel points, so a relatively safe cash game play, not much upside whatsoever. Turner is kind of the opposite. He does have upside. I think he should be getting He's got 30 and 27 minutes the last two games. As long as this game stays close, which easier said than done for Portland against San Antonio, Turner will be handling the ball a lot. He could give you a 35-40 Fando point night. He really could. They need him to facilitate that offense, especially without Lillard. So I'm going to play Evan Turner again a decent amount on Friday. The blowout, though, it does concern me a little bit. So I don't know, if I have 10 lineups, maybe I have Evan Turner in three of them. Then you still got guys like Seth Velosha, Marcus Morris. You got the Bays, his price keeps falling. I know he's been killing us all. Last three games, 15, 8, and 15. But 40 minutes last game. I mean, he's getting over 30 minutes a night right now. So don't get crazy. But tournaments, if you want to use it, especially in like a large tournament, that's when you play a guy like Bays. Like, I don't really recommend him in a single entry or a cash game right now. But a large GPP, yeah. Sam Decker. It's almost getting time to start mentioning Sam Decker. 31 Fanduel points last game against Dallas. I mean, they could easily start Decker at the four spot. I mean, granted, they're starting Ryan Anderson right now. I think in some ways Decker I know he's more talented than Ryan Anderson. I mean, right now Ryan Anderson's more seasoned, veteran player. But if Decker ever gets consistent run in like the mid 20s, especially at that salary, at the pace Houston plays, he'll be in play. And even on small slates right now, I'm going to start playing a little bit of Decker maybe. But on Friday, that's probably not the day to play him. All right, power forward. Anthony Davis, coming off a horrible game, 38 Fanduel points, one of his worst games of the year against the Clippers without Blake Griffin. It was perplexing. It was confusing. It was maddening. It was spit at your TV, cringeworthy. Here he gets the Knicks. He gets Porzingis. Porzingis is a decent defender, but AD is one of these guys who are matchup proof. I'm not going to use him in cash, but tournament play, obviously, and he could give you a monster night. Paul Millsap, 7.8K. Tournament's only for me as long as Dwight's playing. He did okay last game against the Knicks, 35 Fanduel points. I did not like the fact – I mean, he got 41 minutes, which is tremendous. I love that. I'm not a fan of his usage rate these days, which is 24.5%. I wish it was higher, and that's including a lot of games without Howard when it was like 4 or 5 percentage points higher. But he's not scoring dependent. That's one reason why I love him in like season long leagues. The last game against the Knicks, 12.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. So Atlanta is playing way down in pace. Power forward is actually a position that I do love. I think it'll be overlooked on Friday, so it's somewhat of a sneaky play. As sneaky as you can be if you play Paul Millsap. But he's fine. I mean, it's not an elite play on Friday, but it's perfectly reasonable to play him. Porzingis, 7.5K. So, yeah, I'm trying to think. Is he going to be matched up against Anthony Davis? Who else would the Knicks put on AD? I mean, I guess they could put Kylo Quinn would follow in 3 minutes when he gets in there. Joakim Noah, does that make sense to put on Anthony Davis? Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'll look into that tomorrow. Porzingis is fine. The last game out, 38 Fanduel points, and the game for that, 45. He's been relatively consistent this year. He doesn't seem that way because I know I've rostered him a bunch when he's just put up stinkers. And I love rostering him without Derrick Rose because then he actually gets the ball. His usage rate is so low. It's 23.6%. Wilson Chandler, for God's sakes, has a higher usage rate. It's just frustrating because, it's similar to Gary Harris, except he's obviously a much better player, but it's 5, 6, 7 possessions go by where Porzingis doesn't touch the ball because Rose and Anthony just iso ball and hero ball and ball hog and don't pass. So, yeah, I'm probably not going to do it in cash, but totally fine for tournaments, in a good spot here. And he could give you a 40-50 Fanduel point night. I think I just prefer other guys. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know. I got to look into this. I don't know why I'm not a huge fan of Porzingis. By the time lineup blocks, I may become a huge fan of Porzingis. Watch. He might be in my core tomorrow. LaMarcus Aldridge has been tremendous lately. He's been good with Kawhi in the lineup, without Kawhi in the lineup. Last three games, 44, 44, 50. And if you heard like Popovich give some interviews lately, he basically says that he wants Aldridge to shoot like 30 times a night. And so now the blowout potential worries me a little bit against Portland. But, man, you can attack Portland bigs. You guys know that. Power forward, I think they give up the most FanDuel points to opposing power forwards, or second most. And center is basically the same thing. So Aldridge and Gasol are both in play. Aldridge's price has come up, so that's a little makes me a little upset. And the blowout, so tournaments only. Sorry, guys. But massive upside here. I'll have a little exposure. Jokic. I mean, Jokic, 7.2K. He's been a monster. If he can just not get in foul trouble, which he's done a decent job of the last two games, 42 and 46 all year long, a fantasy point per minute monster. He's similar to Embiid with a fantasy point per minute production. So he's in a really good spot here against Philly. I mean, I'm not sure who the hell – I mean, Ersan Ilyasova is going to be guarding him. Okafor is going to be guarding him. I pray it's Okafor starting, so he should be able to destroy him. I like Jokic. He's fine for all formats. He's at that price. It's a little risky for cash, but you know, I think he's massive upside and a really good play on Friday. Jabari Parker. So, I mean, man, his price has come all the way up to over 7K now, 7.1K. Man, power forward. When did this position all of a sudden become really good? I mean, just look at the 7K guys. We got Millsap, Porzingis, Aldridge, Jokic, and Parker. All good plays. Man. So if I had to rank those right now, I guess that is very hard for me to do. But Parker's so safe. I mean, the Bucks are a two-man team. It's Giannis and Parker. Like, I'm surprised Parker's usage isn't higher. It's 26%. But I think it's climbing. Gorgie Dang is a decent defender, but Parker's in a good spot here as well. I mean, I think all these power forwards are pretty safe. I think if I had to choose, I would go Parker. Man, that is I can't even do that right now. I think I like Porzingis the best though. I think I go Porzingis, Parker, Jokic, but it's close. All three are really good plays, and then Aldridge fourth only because I think there could be a potential blowout. But I see. I mean, this is why you need to play, or at least I like to play multiple lineups. Because I'm going to be rotating those four guys. Because I mean, God only knows which one's going to actually go off. They're all so talented. So I mean, I'll do some more research to try to figure out who's going to be the best play on paper. But ultimately, I want lineups with all of those guys. All right, Tobias Harris, 6K. He's coming off the bench now for Detroit, and his price has come up a little bit. But he's been really good. I like him off the bench because he gets more shots. You know, he doesn't have to deal with Reggie Jackson. He gets a good 10, 12 minutes without Reggie on the court, and then he can jack up all the shots he wants. So 38, 33, 35 the last three games. Detroit is playing pace up. He's in a good spot here. Ryan Anderson, yeah, I mean, a tournament's only for me, but I will absolutely have a James Harden, Ryan Anderson lineup. Gorgie Dang, I mean, I like power forward so much that wow, he's been good the last two games, 34 and 31 FanDuel points. Man. And they are going to need him to play a lot of minutes again to defend Jabari Parker. So if you don't have the money because you're paying up for guys like Harden and Chris Paul for cash, you know, Gorgie Dang is a relatively safe cash game play. John Lure, 4.9K, another guy, super safe for cash. You know, he's basically getting, even though he's starting now, not a ton of usage, but he's getting high 20s, low 30s in minutes. And he's going to give you in the low to mid 20s in FanDuel points. So he screams cash game play. I don't know if the upside's there for tournaments. I'm sure one day he's going to get a 40 FanDuel point night, but it's you know, I think he'll more than likely end up in the 25 FanDuel point range. Under 5K, other than Lure, you got Terrence Jones, who's still an okay play. Wish he'd get more minutes. Then you got my boy Dwight Powell, who should see extended minutes with no Bogut. I mean, man, he was so good on – I can't believe he only played 14 minutes on Thursday. He was so good, 21 Fando points. So I'll have a little exposure to him. And that's about as low as I want to go, power forward. Power forward's loaded, so I'm not gonna force value. All right, center, got Karl-Anthony Towns, 9.1K. You can attack the hell out of Milwaukee bigs. So Towns in a really good spot here. 44 and 46 Fando points the last two. And if you look at his game logs, and it's starting to look really sexy, really juicy, really tasty. Getting really hungry thinking about it. He's starting to get locked in. I love the usage rate. Rubio does get him the ball on a nice, consistent basis. Also, all signs point to a really, really big night for him. Next two guys, you have Atlanta, Detroit playing at Atlanta. So you got Dwight Howard and Andre Drummond. I don't like playing guys against Dwight Howard this year. He's been really good defensively. So I'm not going to be playing a ton of Drummond. Plus, Drummond's cost me more money than anyone in DFS land this year. Just the minutes are never great. The fourth quarter, he's unreliable. He's aloof. So, yeah, Drummond's probably going to be a fade for me. Dwight, coming off a monster 50 Fando point night, I prefer to probably go with Towns if I'm going to spend up at center. But you can attack Drummond defensively. Drummond he's regressed defensively. So, I mean, I don't mind Dwight. But I think I like the next guy better than those two for sure, and that's DeAndre Jordan. 7.2K. He finally got Chris Paul back on the court, and there's no Blake. Last game, he erupted for 45 Fando points, 25 rebounds. It was glorious to see. I expect more of the same now without Blake and with Chris Paul. In an up-and-down game against Houston, DeAndre Jordan should thrive in that game. Even if Houston goes a little small, I think Doc would still play Jordan because Jordan can easily get up and down the court. So he's going to be my cash game center as of right now, and I love him for tournaments as well. I love DeAndre Jordan right now. Pau Gasol, I'm going to use him in tournaments. Not a ton, though, because I don't know how Portland keeps that game close, but you can destroy Portland centers. Mason Plumlee, same thing with him because I don't know if that game's going to be close, but I'll have him in one or two lineups. He only got 23 minutes against Sacramento because another coach, Stotts, Terry Stotts, thinks he's like Rick Carlisle. They both think they're mad geniuses or mad scientists or whatever, or smarter than everyone. And he tried to play Myers Leonard a ton of minutes, even though Plumlee was playing really well, and he should have kept Plumlee on the court. Plumlee has 40 Fando point upside, and without Lillard on the court, there's only three guys that can initiate offense. It's McCollum, Evan Turner, and Plumlee. So Plumlee, no one will play him. He'll be under 5% owned, and I will have him in one tournament lineup in case that game stays close. Other than that, under 5K, I know Noah went nuts last game, but I'm probably not gonna play him again. I don't want to chase points on Friday. And then you got guys like John Henson. No, thank you. Although, Henson's minutes are so pathetic, under 20. Okafor is 4.2K. It's really cheap, and his price is skyrocketing down. It's because he stinks. He's horrible. I think he tweaked something on Thursday, but unfortunately for us, he said he's going to play on Friday. I was hoping he'd sit out. 4.2K is cheap. I mean, if Embiid wasn't playing, maybe. My boy Montrezl Harrell is back in play, 4.1K. Interesting here is the question is, who will Houston start against DeAndre Jordan? Will they start Nene or will they start Harrell? So hopefully we'll find out before lineup lock. This game is 8 p.m., and because FanDuel wanted to treat us like a-holes, they have lineup locks at 8 p.m. So we should definitely know before lineup lock whether or not who's starting. So whichever Houston guy is starting, that's the guy that I will look to. I mean, I think Harrell should get the start because in an up-and-down game, but if for whatever reason they decide to start Nene because DeAndre Jordan does have a big body and they want Nene to box him out, then I think Nene is going to be a really solid value punt center. And I don't think we mentioned Embiid. Did I skip over Embiid? Yeah, I did because he's listed as out on FanDuel right now, but he's out Thursday. He definitely should be playing Friday. So Embiid's 6.8K. the usage is still phenomenal. I think it's still 34.2%. The last two games have been really good, 36 and 38 FanDuel points. So it's a nice pivot. It's a, you know, if you want to pivot off of, or for me, it's a pivot off of DeAndre Jordan in tournaments. So I'll use him a little bit. You know, 28 minutes at that usage rate, he can get me 40, 45 FanDuel points. So I will, I just prefer DeAndre Jordan in cash games. I think he's much safer. But for tournaments, I think Embiid is in a really good spot against Denver on Friday. I mean, we got to worry about the blowout potential a little bit, but Embiid should be fine for tournaments. Center is a really good spot on Friday. All right. That is it. We made it through. I feel like that was a long show for only a 7-game slate. Man. All right. It's 5 in the morning. The judge must get to bed. I must tuck in the bailiff. I hope you all made some nice money on Thursday. I hope you're getting ready to end the new year in style. Why don't we end it with some nice glory hunts? Let's end it by taking down some GPPs, by all of us playing chambers, having a good time. Remember, if you need anything, if you want to do a consultation, if you want to get in chambers, have questions, you can tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It means a lot to me. That can be your New Year's present to the judge. Also, you should download the app Draft. Use the promo code DFBPOD. With that said, where's my gavel? I got it. All right. Good luck, guys. We made it through the weekend. Court is adjourned.